Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. I'm a concierge high performance psychologist providing luxury level support to executives, entrepreneurs, celebrities, dignitaries, and athletes. With me today, I have Lauren Schieffer. She is known as the Colonel's Daughter. She is a certified speaking professional doing keynotes and training, focusing on significant leadership. I have Dr. Bob Choate. He has 8 years military experience, has worked in the LAPD, was a stage hypnotist, owned a wildly successful business, and now is going back to school for another PhD, this time in physics. And I also have Kaylee Regan. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology from Unica University. She's working on her master's degree at the University of Buffalo and is the executive director at My Brain Doctor, where they do neural feedback therapy. The question I have today: how do you keep your composure in stressful public situations? Dr. Bob, kick us off.
Yes. So there's one thing I learned a long time ago in dealing with high stress environments, both in the LAPD and then also in the Marines being part of Force Recon. And there's this thing called tactical breathing. And it was very, very, very effective. I continue to use it to this day. And I can attest that it doesn't matter what environment. Once I start engaging in it, it's effective. It's also known as box breathing. Basically, the way it works is you breathe into your nose for a count of four, hold for a count of four, exhale for a count of four, hold for a count of four, and repeat it as many times as necessary to get yourself back down to where you want. You don't want to go too relaxed because if you're engaged in an activity that you need focus, this helps you to focus even more.
I did not know tactical breathing and box breathing were the same thing. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I was thinking that it would be great to be proactive rather than reactive in a situation like this. And I think one way to do that is by practicing your emotional intelligence. The primitive definition sort of refers to our ability to understand, use, and manage our emotions in a positive way that affects us and it affects others. The basis of this is in the frontal lobe, where we're responsible for seeing, interpreting the world, how we process our emotion, and make decisions based on those emotions. Oftentimes, you can break down this emotional intelligence into four different components, which I think are important. So the first thing is recognition and that self-awareness. It starts with you at the foundation in order for you to then react in those situations publicly. Recognizing and understanding your own emotions, your own emotional triggers, and knowing how that you cognitively react to things will better prepare you for a situation like that. You're then better able to self-regulate so you can influence and actually control those emotions in healthy ways. In the social aspect, putting it into the public situation, having that social awareness allows you to understand the emotions of others, their emotional concerns and needs, and then social regulation. So then you can take action to then mitigate, hopefully, that stress in that situation. And again, a proactive approach, practicing this before you get in a stressful situation, will allow you to just better handle it once you get there.
I would absolutely agree with Dr. Bob that getting oxygen to your brain is crucial. So breathing would have been the first thing that I said. Piggybacking on what Kaylee said, what you say when you talk to yourself is crucial. So you're asking yourself, what is the first thing that needs to be done, said, thought about? Because often in a stressful situation, your brain will go off in the direction of what are the ramifications of this next month and next year, and how is this going to affect? Stop. What is the first thing? Is it safety? Is it serenity? Is it productivity? What is the first thing that needs to be done and thought about? And then the second direction I would go with that is, so often we get in stressful situations because we're thinking about how it affects me. Well, most of the time it's not about you. So telling yourself this, they're not angry with me. They're angry with the situation. They're not frustrated with me or anything that I've done. They're frustrated with the situation. If you can take yourself out of the situation, you can more often figure what's first. There was a time in my life when I didn't have such a great handle on this, that I used to carry a Q-tip. I had a Q-tip in my pocket. so that I could tuck my hand in my pocket to remind myself of Q-tip, which meant to me, quit taking it personally.
I know for me, if I'm going to try and keep my composure, the first thing I have to do is I have to notice I'm losing my composure. That psychosomatic response where my blood's getting in a flood, because if I don't catch it, my emotional brain will take over and then forget it. My composure's gone. There's no way. I'm not going to catch that. So that's the thing for me is if how do I make sure that I notice when I'm on that precipice and kind of draw it back? And because then you can do the breathing and you can think about putting your hand in your pocket and not taking things personally. And you can go through the steps, but if you don't catch it, you're out.
Absolutely. That's what we all kind of said too and agreed upon was that recognition is really the first thing in order to stop in that moment and engage in those breathing exercises, stopping in the moment and engaging in self-awareness and recognizing your emotions or just separating yourself from the situation.
Have you ever had a situation where you lost your composure and then had to try and get it back? And how did that work?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Hindsight is 20/20 for sure.
To me, it is absolutely crucial to breathe, constantly breathing, and to do what I call a full stop on my brain. Sometimes in order to do a full stop, I will say in the situation, hold on a moment. I find I'm not objective in this situation right now. Mm-hmm. I need to give myself some time. Let's revisit this in 30 minutes. And I've even gone so far as to say, I will let you know when I can discuss this with you again. Mm-hmm. And I just slip into my pass the butter voice, mm-hmm. which is just short of a monotone. It's just, so it's doing a full stop and giving myself a timeout. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm either going to be speaking or even something that's really stressful. If I know that I'm going to be engaging in it prior to that, I will engage in mental rehearsal. I've done this for a long time and I've taught it also to others, because once we engage in something, if things are going like this way and that way, you really don't have a lot of time you can engage in terms of the breathing. But when it hits the fan, it's pretty bad. Now, these are high stress kind of situations that most people don't engage in. Mm-hmm. Yet, we don't know. We may be up on stage speaking and then all of a sudden you get some yahoo in the audience and they start yelling at one of these stupid kind of things. Mm-hmm. So still, even in that environment, if you can rehearse prior to that, mental rehearsal, then actual practice, by the time you get there, you know how to deal with that. So mm-hmm. so you already practiced those kind of things. So
preemptive.
Yes. So that's kind of like what I do. And it's kind of like what I teach others prior to even athletes. They use a lot of that, as you mm-hmm. know, Robin.
Mm-hmm. Robin. Kaylee, do you have an example where you've lost your composure and had to get it back? And what did you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I find oftentimes when I'm in it, having conversations with just another individual or a group of individuals, that's times when I get most stressed out and oftentimes go in defense mode. So when I find myself doing something like that and losing my composure, I try to, again, just stop and focusing on listening rather than actually speaking and trying to defend myself. So it's just kind of like we said, that little timeout. I don't necessarily always need to take a break and step away. If I do, I can. But just again, recognizing what they're trying to say to me, understanding the individual or individuals that I'm talking to, rather than focusing on my own self, but recognizing their emotions and their needs as well too, so that I can better react.
So I'm going to suggest people contact, if you're in the area, contact Kaylee, because another effective method is that of EEG neural feedback. So you can engage in a sort of a mental rehearsal, but you're practicing it in terms of real time, seeing how you're able to respond, calming down actually stimulating your vagus nerve on top of that and really being focused.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, that self-regulation ability to just kind of control your emotions is practiced and rehearsed over and over again. You're absolutely right, Deborah.
Well, that is our 10 minutes, so I'm going to have to cut us off there. Thank you for keeping your composure for this conversation, and I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.